I've made this point a number of times, but just to say again, do not live in cities. For one, the countryside is far nicer just in terms of the landscape. There's no industrial, brutalist hellscapes that you can expect in the countryside. Especially in England, it's just rolling fields, lovely green grass, wonderful forests and trees. There's a lot to appreciate about the countryside. Also, the countryside isn't full of authoritarian leftists who are trying to stop you from being able to exchange eye contact with one another. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. I'm just going to be looking at a bit of London and a bit of New York, which I think are two of the main culprits. New York, of course, was very authoritarian in terms of its COVID lockdowns.
I think it's probably one of the world's largest open sewers.
Yes, that too. And London is probably coming up as a close number second for open sewers across the world. So before I go any further, I just want to point out this recent article from Codrin Stavry, otherwise known as V, talking about the trivialization of sexual harassment, talking about basically how now that anything can be considered sexual harassment, as long as it's just a man maybe passes by a woman too closely, is actually trivializing what actual sexual harassment is and how horrible that is for some women to experience. So check that out if you're interested. It's a free...
That is also a reason to get out of the cities.
Yes.
Because... You won't get that in the countryside.
No, you'll get an, how are you doing there, though?
Yeah, that's
and
exactly
that's about what that's about all you can expect, because people generally are a bit polite in the countryside, I found as well. But let's carry on. So just looking into the hellscape that is New York, there was this which went a little bit viral earlier on this month from an Isaac Fitzgerald talking about his life in New York. Walked into the bodega and asked if they sold butter. Sorry, no. But then a pause. How much do you need? Just cooking dinner? Love you, New York City. And what he's got is a paper bag with a small plastic cup of what appears to be butter. I can only assume.
I would hope so.
Is butter, which is supposedly a good thing. This is normal in New York to be excited that, oh my goodness, the bodega, whatever that is, has butter in.
I like how he's got it in like a paper bag, like he's... swigging some whiskey.
Swigging butter down the street.
Going to be on the New York subway drinking it. One will know.
I mean, it is America. He might just be swigging lard as he walks down the street for all we know. But it's just very confusing that in a city like New York, which you would expect to be prosperous, to be a part of the land of opportunity. Historically, New York is where all of the new arrivals into America would first land as they... pass by the Statue of Liberty, and now apparently it's impressive to get butter, just a small cup of butter from your local convenience shop, because that's what it sounds like when I've heard bodegas explained to me. It's just a corner shop. But apparently New York has to put a nice fancy bohemian name on it, otherwise you know that they're not better than you. And people, of course, started ripping on this immediately. Isn't New York wonderful? Just hit up the bodega. Only in New York with a handful of McDonald's, because apparently American New Yorkers would be absolutely thrilled and shocked to see that this is a possibility anywhere else in the world. And let's move on here as well. Somebody just posted this, which I thought summed it up pretty nicely, which is, New Yorkers be like, yeah, but can you get insert disgusting low quality junk food at insert time? Any healthy person should be asleep wearing your insert bum ass clothes that signify depression while also being high on weed. So it actually kind of sounds ideal for you.
Excuse me.
that was
unprovoked.
It's a wonderland for Josh and people like him.
Hang on, scruff bag without a jacket on.
Anyway. it is kind of true where people within these cities get into this weird insular mindset where they can't imagine anything outside of the city. And then, therefore, anything that's completely normal elsewhere in the world, like in the countryside, where you can just go to a corner shop and you can get a whole tub of butter if that's what you're after. You can go to a farm in a countryside and get a barrel of the stuff if you're really eager to get
hold of it. Yeah, that's where it comes from. You get it straight from the source.
Yeah, straight from the tap. but city dwellers seem to think that this kind of thing is amazing, because honestly, the big progressive cities, at the very least, like New York and London, are managed horribly. and have terrible infrastructure and don't seem to be particularly nice places to live as much as the people want to gaslight themselves into believing they're in some kind of amazing wonderland. And London is much the same as New York in this sense. And one of the things that I want to point out, which is that London, like New York, has an underground system. In New York, you call it the subway. And I didn't realize that there are a lot of things that people do on the London Underground, which are just outright illegal.
Is it have fun?
Oh, that's just London. No, but this is like normal etiquette behavior that people in London do anyway. But apparently, if you don't do them, you might have a chance of someone just calling up the police and arresting you.
John Wheatley made a good point about this, that in places with high densities of immigration, what would normally just be informal convention that everyone understood now has to be formalized into law. And that's what I think has happened here.
That's probably a good point, actually. But I'll just go through a few of the things in London that you're not allowed to do on the underground, which is you're not allowed to bring an item that may soil a person or property. The official line classifies this under potentially dangerous items category. If you spill coffee on my new white skirt, I'll become the dangerous item, which is very interesting. If you just, like, what will soil people? So if you just, Josh, you shouldn't drink too much coffee before getting on the tube, just in case. You don't want to soil anything. Although you might literally get arrested for it.
I didn't realise. Apparently. You got a license for that coffee.
Yeah, exactly. Great. But it is ridiculous how England, we really do live up to the stereotypes in this way, don't we? There's so many licenses for this and that and this and that that, yeah, I don't think we live in a particularly free society, depending on where you live.
It, yeah,
yeah. Four, you're not allowed on if your clothes are dirty. In a clause just below the headline, unfit condition, there is a line saying that no person is allowed to enter the railway if they're in an unfit or improper condition, or his clothing may soil or damage any part of the railway. Five is no graffitiing, and I think the citizens of London haven't got that memo, sadly, because if you go in
To be fair, no graffitiing and not wearing dirty clothes are good standards to uphold.
They are good standards to uphold. Being arrested for them seems a little bit harsh, though.
For graffiti,
not for graffiti, maybe, but for like if you just go in and your clothes are a bit dirty, I don't expect to spend a night in a jail cell. You know, there's number eight, no singing.
I agree with that one wholeheartedly.
Well, once again, the buskers obviously haven't heard that one. No gambling.
So that happens all the time.
So you're
squashed in the tube.
So your underground poker ring is not allowed in there.
Damn, my roulette scheme is ruined.
I know. And 10, you have to use the escalators properly. So if you're on the underground in London, you have to stand on the right side of any escalator as you're going up, just as courtesy. But apparently it's also illegal not to. which is very, very interesting. The bylaws state that you must not keep only to the right when not walking, but that you must also always be walking in the direction intended for travel. So if you get lost on the underground, that might be illegal because you don't know what your direction for travel is, technically speaking. But yeah, this is all like pretty common sense stuff. But why do we need this to be illegal? I don't like the implication that the state is just going to come in and say, this thing that you do anyway, if you don't do it, that you're going to prison, son. You got a license to be lost down here. I mean,
that is silly, yeah.
It is very silly. It does seem like we're getting closer and closer to like the police state that people have been worried about and warned about. And one of the things, the reason that I bring all this up is that somebody posted this at us earlier, which is, if you just click on this image, it's a little notice board in one of the tubes on the London Underground saying, staring, intrusive, from the Mayor of London, Sadiq himself, praise be, intrusive staring of a sexual nature is sexual harassment and is not tolerated. See it or experience it on public transport. Text what, where, and when to this number. Aware of someone who is doing this and want to remain anonymous.
Staring of a sexual nature. How does one stare in a sexual nature? Yeah. Do you like do it really seductively? Like,
remember that together we can stop sexual harassment. I think it's if you give them the smolder, you know, if you give them a little bit of the...
Give them a wink or something.
Yeah, if you give them a wink and, you know, just start going... Start like nodding down at their crotch. Maybe then you'd have the argument that yes, this is sexual harassment. But just staring. Nobody makes eye contact in London anyway.
People treat eye contact in London like it's going to kill them, which, to be fair, it's pretty likely.
It might do. It honestly might do if you get catch the eye of the wrong person. But this is all extra funny for me, given that the Tube, as we all know, is a place of respect and dignity. For instance, this Sun article, where there was a woman caught performing a sex act on a man in front of horrified Tube passengers during the coronavirus lockdown. So this would have been fine during any other time, but don't you understand there's a pandemic going on?
Yeah, they didn't mention this in any of the rules that we're listing off.
They actually didn't. Don't have sex on the Tube was not one that was listed. So hey ho, might as well try your luck, eh? But yeah, there's articles written about this sort of stuff as well. Like, there's just a full article that I found that's just called "Why Don't Londoners Make Eye Contact?" Because this is just so common. I mean, elsewhere in the country, I'm happy to, you know, maybe it's because I'm from the north. People, I'll walk down the street, exchange eye contact with people, say hello, nod at them, just as a friendly way of showing that I've recognised that you're there and that's fine.
Even down south that happens.
I'm shocked.
Sometimes you even get a conversation at a bus stop. It's amazing.
I know, it's incredible, but this starts with, if everyone you passed on a London street stared straight at you, you'd find it unsettling. But in this vast city, home to 9 million people, you can expect exactly zero eye contact from strangers at virtually all times. And this, if anything, is worse. A typical Londoner would rather drop their fish and chips or get mowed down by a black cab than risk looking up and locking retinas with another human. And this just sounds miserable.
It does.
It just sounds absolutely miserable and isolating. How are you supposed to make human connections with people in a situation like that? Especially if you're on the Tube, if you do try and make eye contact with somebody, they might call the police on you.
The thing is, when you're on the Tube as well, you don't even have phone signal. So it's like a really boring thing. You've either got to take a book and put up with a racket of
the Tube.
That's
what I do when I'm in London.
Pretend you're not there. Read about nice sunny shores, rather than being stuck in a horrible smog-filled underground system.
It's not full of smog, it's full of people's gases in those sorts of places. But yeah, it's a miserable sort of situation to find yourself in. But amusingly, I did find that because of this new law that's been implemented, or this new warning that's been implemented in London Tubes, that the Spectator did an article called "In Defence of Staring." Which sounds a little bit sus just by the title.
Just imagine.
Especially with this image. This girl does not look like she's having a great time.
Crying little girl and a man with what looks like a pipe and a top hat just leaning over.
Have you heard the song Aqualung?
What, by...
By Jethro Tull.
Yes.
I think this is Aqualung himself.
Isn't that about a homeless man, though?
A homeless paedophile.
Right.
Have you not listened to the lyrics? You go, sitting on a park bench, eyeing little girls with bad intent. I think this is Aqualung himself in action. But to be fair, the article does make some good points, despite the questionable choice of title and image. Like many people, I enjoy watching people. There's a great pleasure in sitting in a cafe or a car park or on a park bench on a sunny afternoon and just watching people pass by. But increasingly, people watching is becoming suspect and even criminalized. And to be honest, this is true. For the most part, it's quite nice to just see people going about their lives and recognize that there is more to this great world that we live in than just what's happening in your life right now. You get to see what other people are doing. And it's even kind of a trope in rom-coms where, you know, they'll sit down together on the park bench and look at other people and go, oh, what do you reckon he's doing right now? And they come up with little stories, and it's quite sweet. But now it's illegal in London. The latest and most worrying example is Transport for London's campaign against what it calls intrusive staring. Posters all over the Tube now warn us intrusive staring is a form of sexual harassment and will not be tolerated. Last month, a man was sentenced to 22 weeks in prison after a woman reported him for continuously staring at her on a train in Berkshire. That's ridiculous. That's over 5 months.
That's a long time for looking at someone.
I know. It's very strange because you see those signs like that and you think, oh, this is probably just a warning. It's just going to put people off. Nothing's going to come of it. But stuff does actually come from these laws. So Sarah White, leader of British Transport Police's sexual offences team, has urged anyone who feels intrusively stared at to report it. But what exactly is intrusive staring? Talking to representatives for both Transport for London and the British Transport Police, I discovered that there is no clear, objective definition. Because why would there be? How would you classify intrusive staring objectively? You can't. They say the line is crossed when a man looks at a woman in a sexual way that makes her feel unsafe or uncomfortable. And this is in an era when we have people going on GTA Online saying they were sexually assaulted when somebody teabagged them. So I feel like...
I don't know about that.
Have you not seen that? I think she works for BioWare now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, but how many seconds or minutes does it take to turn a look of curiosity into an intrusive stare? No one knows. And one woman's intrusive stare could be another woman's welcome invitation to romance. But obviously this just means more grey area laws to make day-to-day life just that little bit more difficult and anxiety-inducing, as if we didn't have enough of that already. For the purposes of research, I went on a tube ride to stare at women. This is where the article gets a little bit weird. And yes, I know how weird that sounds. At any sign of discomfort, I would immediately have stopped. But believe me, staring, sexual or otherwise, is not an easy thing to do. Most men are too wimpy to make eye contact. We are socialized not to let our eyes linger, first by our parents saying it's rude to stare, and then by Me Too activists. It's sexism to stare. I tried a mix of stares. My best sexy stare, my pervy bloke stare, because we've all got one of those, don't we? And my just escape from the mental hospital stare.
I mean, you don't need to put on one of those. Half the people on the tube have that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't have to go far to find any of them in London, do you? Each for at least 30 seconds. I got one titter, one smile, and one roll of the eyes. Most women did not notice I was staring. Why? Because on tubes, most women and men are so busy staring at their phones that they don't pay attention to what anybody else is doing. Nobody except sex pests and pervs wants to make women feel unsafe or uncomfortable, which checks out. For the vast majority of people, that is absolutely true. The article did take a little bit of a weird turn where he's like, I'm going to go into my investigative journalist mode and stare at people on the tube. But overall, he makes a good point, which is one by one, there are elements of day-to-day life which are being stripped away from people that are separating them. We are social creatures, but in a big city like London, and I would imagine it's much the same in cities like New York, you are actively incentivized to isolate yourself. Mm-hmm. And there is nothing worse than feeling isolated when you are surrounded by people going about their day-to-day life. It makes you feel even more alone than you would otherwise. So this is once again just another public service announcement saying move to the countryside. People are nice, the scenery is even nicer, and don't live in cities, for God's sake.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast of the Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content we have on the site, such as this essay that Carl wrote on the politics of Warhammer 40,000 with an audio track to go and listen as well. But also, if you'd like to find out what else we're putting out, you can follow us on Getter at lotuseaters_com on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.